Today we come to this lady called Lydia. Now, Lydia is a Greek name, and it's a name that is still very popular even today. I know of babies recently that have been given the name of Lydia. The outstanding thing about this woman is that she wanted to be baptized. She was the only one. But she wanted to totally commit herself to living the Christian life. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're preaching the same gospel, and God is still converting and calling people to a new life in the Lord Jesus. Now, as I prayed, Philippi was a totally new place in which the Apostle Paul preached the gospel. He had received this Macedonian call to leave Asia Minor, go across the ocean into Macedonia. He ended up in this city of Philippi, which was the chief city, and it was a colony, we are told. That means it was a Roman garrison, a place where the Roman military were stationed. Now, that upped the ante for any city because it would become a place of importance, of trade, of growth, and of political power. And here is this woman. She is in the business of selling purple. Now, that most likely means cloth that was dyed in purple, or it might mean that it was the very dye itself to dye such cloth. But she was here from Thyatira, and she was on business. And while she was there, she attended an outdoor prayer meeting. The Jews, who were scattered in various parts of the world, had a temple, of course, in Jerusalem. They had synagogues in many, many cities, but they also had outdoor places where they would meet and gather. And here by a riverside, a group of ladies met to pray. And lo and behold, Paul the Apostle turned up to preach. He never missed an opportunity to preach the gospel. Now, he probably thought this is not much good, because he might have thought that I'm wasting my time. These ladies don't even want to hear, but one did. And Lydia not only paid attention and gave attention to what was preached that day, became a convert, but she also wanted to be baptized. Now, all of this is God's doing, because we read that the Lord opened her heart. What could that possibly mean? That's our sermon today. Firstly, the mystery of an opened heart, then the miracle of an opened heart, and then thirdly, the measure of an opened heart. Now, it's a mystery because this woman was already religious. She was worshiping with Jewish women. She was a Greek. She may well have been a proselyte to Judaism, but whether she was born a Jew or became a Jew later, she was active in worship. She was present amongst these praying women. But up until this time, she had never really prayed at all, because her heart needed to be opened. She was very religious, and she was very powerful, a businesswoman. And some scholars tell us that Greek women were very well connected, and they had some political power. Some of them were married to magistrates and wealthy leaders. And so if you won the heart of the wife, you were really making an inroads into that community. So Lydia was a Jew outwardly. She was there present, but her heart was not engaged. And there are a lot of people like that. Maybe you know someone like that. They would be categorized as very religious. They might even be superstitiously religious, very punctual, very regular at worship, and maybe they would defend the Bible, and they would stand up against people who would use bad language. I had an aunt like that, and she would have rebuked anyone who would have been rude or crude or maybe using language that was wrong, and she was very moral. She was very churchy, but she was not saved while I was growing up, and not till I became a Christian and I began to witness to her, and I gave her a book by J.C. Ryle on the new birth, the need for a new heart, that she came to understand her need to be born again. And so there are a lot of people in the world who are religious. Now, she was also rich, but that also is a hindrance, because the Lord Jesus said that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man or woman to go through to enter the kingdom of God. And Lydia also had the scriptures. She was amongst Jewish people that would have had the Old Testament Bible, and she therefore would have known who the true God is. She would have known the promises concerning the Messiah and all the hopes that Jewish people have. But not all Bible readers are Christians. I've gone to places, and I would normally at doors say to people, "Do you read the Bible? Do you have a Bible?" And most people would say so. But they might be standing at the door with a beer bottle, and they might be talking about things that's so off that they're definitely not born again or enlightened at all. Now, the Bible is what gives people light and hope. But if you don't follow the light, and if you don't use the light, then you're not saved. You're not ready for heaven, just like this woman. Now, there's a mystery also here that she was the only one. Out of all that prayer group of ladies, just Lydia came to understand her need and gave attention to what Paul preached and later wanted to be baptized. How come? How come you're here today and thousands are driving about and doing other things? How come you have an interest in the Lord? How come some here have new hearts that are opened and you're saved and multitudes are not? Salvation is a gift. It's a gift of understanding. The preacher can't give it. After all, these ladies all had the very best possible preacher to speak to them at that riverside. Paul would have made it very clear. He would have been very dogmatic and insistent on what was right and wrong and how to be saved. But only Lydia gave attention and was saved. Now, it's also a mystery because in Lydia's life, it never happened before. This is the first time. She was most likely a very mature woman, a businesswoman, a traveler. And yet, at that age of life, this is the first time. How come she had missed it for so long? It's a mystery. I know of people who are, well, Dr. Paisley used to talk about a man who was under his ministry for over 30 years. And if you had listened to Dr. Ian Paisley preach the gospel, it would have terrorized a very brave-hearted man or woman. He was a fearless preacher of the gospel. And that man sat for 30 years without being converted. And then one day, he melted, his heart was opened, and he was saved. Salvation is mysterious. It's the gift of God, and it happens in a mighty, powerful way when it's time. It's also a mystery in that it happened so suddenly. You would say this was not the right time for Lydia to become a Christian. She was away from home. She was on business. She was without her family and friends at that time. And therefore, she might make excuses and say, not now. But it was God's hour to open her heart. And as we sing that song, Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. And that's how salvation is. It is mighty, mysterious, and it is suddenly powerful that you must seek the Lord and call upon him. Now that same call can come to your heart because you can feel that compunction, that compelling power of the Lord speaking to your soul, convicting you and convincing you that you're not right with God, that you need to be saved, and that Jesus died on the cross for you, and it's now that you need to be saved. We come then to the miracle of an open heart. You'll notice here it says in this verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us. And here's the miracle. Whose heart the Lord opened. I want you to notice that it was not changed by human power. The Lord opened her heart. A secret power reached down into the depths of her understanding, into her very soul, and as if it was a key, it unlocked the ways of darkness and opened her heart to a new comprehension and a new grasp of what the Lord Jesus could do for her soul. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. His ways are powerful and his ways are personal. It's an operation that no man can make. The preacher can preach to your ears, but the Holy Spirit moves in the heart. And I pray that right now the Holy Spirit will come in great convincing power beyond this pulpit, beyond my voice, that you will hear the voice of the Spirit of God say to you, Lydia, it's time to believe and receive the Lord Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. It was also the creation of new life. The Bible is very, very clear that man by nature, woman as well, by nature, are dead in trespasses and in sins. And when you think about it, preaching is the most ridiculous thing ever, to go and preach to dead people. It's like going into the graveyard and preaching to the headstones, hoping that somehow there will be a reception. Well, in the hearts of sinners, there is deadness. When you were born into this world, you were born with a heart that was fallen, that died to God, and you have no interest, no desire whatsoever of serving God. You might want to be known as religious, as acceptable, as falling into the ways that are appreciated by others, but in your own heart, this is not for me. I'm done. And then the miracle marvelously happens. It was the creation of new life. Now I want to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And this will back up the point that we are born dead in trespasses and in sins. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, this is the apostle writing to Christians in a church at Ephesus. And he says, you Christians, you believers, hath he quickened. That means he has given you new life. Who were in the past dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins. And that's the unbeliever, men, women, boys and girls. Dead in trespasses and sins. The gospel is not to clean up the corpse. It is not to tell the corpse to do something. But it is the call of God to receive new life. And that's what sinners need before they can be saved. There is salvation is likened to a resurrection. It's the resurrection of the soul. You'll see again that word quickened in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. That's how this new life enters in. When your hand of faith reaches out and you touch the life of Jesus, new life comes in. Don't you read of many who did that? They touched the hem of his garment. They somehow came into contact with the Son of God. And that contact brought new life into their hearts, into their bodies, into their souls. And that is how new life comes into the sinner, into your heart, and gives you a true power of salvation. Until that happens, you're not saved. You can't call yourselves a Christian. You can't say that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus until you receive that new life. Now back to Acts 16 again and verse 14. You'll notice that this new life, this miracle in her heart, it did something to her. It changed her. It made her different from all the other women that were there at the riverside. We're told that her heart was opened, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. There was Paul preaching to the ladies. One of the most fearful things I've ever done is preach to a ladies' group. Sometimes happens at our weeks of prayer and presbytery meetings, where the men are ministered to. One of the ministers get called over to preach to the ladies, and you need to have a very special message and have it very carefully worded, because ladies might either get excited or get offended. And I'm sure Paul was careful in what he preached. And this woman, Lydia, as she heard the message, she not only heard with her outer ears, but in her heart she responded. And she attended unto the things. See, that's like the man who built his house on the rock. Jesus said, it's not hearers, but it's doers of his word that enter into eternal life. It is those that actually build on the Lord Jesus that are saved. And this woman, Lydia, was so moved. I wonder, is the Word of God controlling your life? Is that the foundation of your faith? Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is not merely the whims of your own thinking. Faith is based on facts. Facts that God sent his Son. Facts that Jesus lived the life you should have lived, a perfect life, a sinless life. Facts that Jesus shed his blood to wash away sin. He made atonement between him and God, and he has opened a way for sinners to be accepted by God. And your faith is to be built on that solid, sure foundation. And this woman gave attention to the things that were spoken by Paul. Now, you may have heard them, but have you given attention? Now, attention is more than just opening your ears as wide as possible. Attention is actually entering in, believing, receiving the Lord Jesus into your heart and into your soul. Now, this was a wonderful miracle. And you'll notice that it extended to her family and to her household. This miracle of opening her heart. And you'll see there that when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house. Now, you'll see that she brought the gospel home. Now, I wonder, was home away back in Thyatira, or did she have some accommodation in Philippi? But she brought the gospel home. And you will read that her household were also baptized. And here begins the debate. Was this credo baptism for believers? Or was it possibly even infant baptism for children? And you can debate that till the cows come home. But the one thing that is sure, Lydia gave full attention to what Paul preached. She was not just hanging on words. She was going to be a disciple of Christ in her own heart, in her own life, in her home, and wherever she would go. And there is the amazing miracle of this conversion. Her heart was opened. Her life was changed. And I'm so glad today that I preach a gospel that is real, that it not only gives lip profession, but it changes lives. It changes homes. Your home will be very different when Jesus is in your heart. He will be in your home too. The conversation in your home will be different. The things you love and desire will be different. And that brings us to the measure of an open heart. And I'll just really list them here. It can be measured by her response to the scriptures. She gave attention to the things that Paul preached. And you can see him there with the Word of God, and he's expounding the book. And I remember a Bible preacher that always impresses me to this day, and he would take his Bible, and he would take his finger, and he would put his finger on the text, and he would read it, and he would expound it, and he would preach it, and he would hold up the Bible, and you left that meeting knowing that that message came not out of his own thinking, but right out of the book itself. And I'm sure that's how Lydia felt, that this man is not just here teaching his own ideas. He's here to tell us what the scriptures mean and how we can live a new life through the Lord Jesus. Measured by her public profession of baptism. Now, usually in churches today, baptisms are a kind of a friendly affair. You invite your family and friends and all who would support you. But to be baptized in Macedonia, in Philippi, as the first person ever to claim to be a Christian, that must have been newsworthy. You could imagine the heading on the Philippi Times, Lydia to be baptized. She is giving up her old religion. She has come to a new religion. She is now a Christ one. A Christian. And when she was baptized, it would have been the talk of the town. And many might have watched from a distance. She went through with God, and it was measurable by her baptism. It's also measurable by her desire to be faithful. If you look at verse 15, she said, when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful. Now, she didn't judge herself. She didn't say, well, I think I am, but I want you, Paul, to tell me if I'm doing the right things as a new Christian. And she wanted to be found faithful. And then she opened up her home, but she didn't want to do it if it would cause a problem for Paul and other Christians to come into her home. You know, there are homes that if I was to go into, I would have to more or less tolerate and commend how they live. The beer might be flowing, the television might be roaring, the obscenities of Hollywood might be shown. And if I was to sit through that, it would get the reputation of one who enjoyed those things. But this woman, Lydia, wanted her home to be right, and that she was found faithful, godly, Christ-honoring, and that Paul could go to her home and others without fear of testimony. That is measurable. That is a phenomenal mark of her new found faith. She opened her home to the gospel. Again, I haven't worked out in my mind where this home was located. But it must have been a large accommodation because she was willing to feed and to be a hostess to many that were traveling, like Paul himself, and to use her home for the gospel. That's what happens when you get a new heart. You don't want to just be greedy. You want to be gospel-minded and have a part in the ministry and caring of taking the gospel forth. This was the new life of Lydia. It was certainly the mark of a true, genuine conversion. Let this apply to you today, and let it be true in your life. Is it possible to resist the call of God to your soul? Is it possible for your heart to be closed? The opposite to open is closed. A closed heart, a hardened heart that says, no way. And so there's a battle in your heart. Will I become a Christian? Will I be like Lydia and open my heart to all that the Bible teaches, all that is going to be required of me to live a godly Christian life? Well, as that battle rages in your heart, let me plead with you to settle the account today. The Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with men. There are people who have heard the gospel, and their hearts are more adamant, flint-like, hardened than ever before. And now when they hear the gospel, they have no interest. The Spirit of God is not striving. If He strives with you today and you can hear the internal call and you know it's you the Lord is speaking to, I beg with you to give your heart to the Lord Jesus today, not tomorrow. There is no promise for tomorrow. But now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of hope for heaven. You can be saved now, today. Will you? I pray that the Lord will indeed open your heart and that you will be saved. If I can be of any guidance, any help in your desire to be saved, please don't go away today. Just stay in your seat while others leave. I'll be glad to open the Bible and if I can be of any further help. Or you can just say, Lord, save me now. And He'll hear the cry of your heart. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for this time in Your